Rescue the pain. Amen. Please do be seated. Well, it is good to have everyone here today. It is good to have all our ladies with us here today, and it's good to have all our mothers here with us today. So we're glad you're here. Amen. And we have a gift for all the ladies who are here today, and we'll give you that at the end there. I don't know the name of it, but it's awful pretty. Of course, I didn't know my English earlier either, so there's a lot of things I don't know. A predicate adjective, is that what you said? Amen, I learned one today. Isn't that terrible? Was you good at English?
Yeah.
Okay. A little bit? Okay. I really don't have any announcements, so let's have our men come to receive our morning tithes and offerings at this time. Brother Wade, would you ask the Lord's blessing, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to come to your house, Lord, to hear your word, Lord. Thank you for blessing us with all the mothers.
Yes,
my mother,
Father, thank you.
Please continue to watch over all the mothers and give them the strength they need to do what they do, Lord. Just thank you for blessing our country, Lord. Continue to watch over our country. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I know he's mine.
Amen. I would like you to turn with me this morning to the book of Luke, please. The book of Luke. Luke chapter 2 is where we're going. And I want to begin reading in verse 18. I'm going to skip up and read verse 11 first. And the Bible says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then in verse 18, the Bible says, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." What they were just told was what was in verse 11, okay? It says, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for the privilege to sing your praises this morning. We do thank you for the gift of salvation. And Father, there'd be nothing that would make our mothers happier than for their children to be saved. Father, I pray if there's one here that doesn't know you as their Savior, Father, today would be a day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the accepted day, Lord. And we just pray that you would move upon hearts and upon lives. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would just help us to put aside the cares of this world, that you would watch over the prayer requests that we've lifted up this morning, those we're burdened for. And Father, we just pray that you would help us to put aside all those cares for a time. Speak to us through your word. And Father, we ask this now that we'd have understanding by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I am always touched by that in verse 19. It says, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." It literally means that word "kept these things." It means that she was considering those things. They were in her heart on kind of like a loop. That's kind of what it means, okay? And then she was collecting memories as a mother. And so that is the title of the message this morning, is considering and collecting memories as a mother. You know, today is kind of a unique day in American history. Most churches are going to be celebrating mothers and motherhood. But some are going to be under attack by those who want to abandon and condemn a woman's desire to raise children that they have conceived. I don't know how many of y'all know that, but today there are a lot of churches under attack. At least that was the plan. I can only imagine what must run through a mother's mind as she looks down on her newborn child. You know, as a father, things were different for a father. I was just thinking about this just now as when Daniel was born, the first thing I wanted to do was put him in Denver Bronco regalia and take pictures of him, make sure he was raised right, you know what I'm saying? Anyhow, I joke about that. But I only know what run through my mind as a father. But God is the one that makes this distinction, that something very special ran through the woman of this mother, Mary, who is the mother of Jesus. And she had to look down on this newborn child, and Mary gives us a clue as to what went through her mind when she was looking upon Jesus. Notice what the Bible says again in verse 18. It says, "And as they heard it, as all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." I mean, by the way, she had been told some amazing things up to this point. She had been spoken to by an angel, amen. And she is now hearing the witness of these shepherds that said, "We saw some angels, and this is what they said." And if you will, it was just validating what she had been told and what she had known. And so she's pondering and she's thinking all these things about this precious child. I don't know about you, when a baby is born, you count the fingers and toes, don't you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And you count the fingers and toes, and you just look at him. And I don't know about you, but listen, as soon as we knew we were having a child, I just couldn't stop thinking about the potential. You got to imagine it was very special for Mary. But I think a lot of our mothers, are going to be able to identify with what Mary was thinking, if you will. And the first question is this, is he like the father? In verse 11, you think about this. You know, I don't know about you, but have you ever noticed the first thing they want to do is say, "Who's the baby look like?" Right? And hopefully the mother's, you know, looking and say, you know, trying to see the distinguishing characteristics of the father in the child. Notice that's what she was looking at. Because in verse 11, that's what they were describing. The Bible says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And folks, I want you to know that that sentence is just full of meaning. Because as she's looking down at this child, she's taking and she's saying, this is the Christ. This is the anticipated seed. This is the one who's going to defeat the devil and crush his head. This is the one that is going to rule on the throne of David. He is the anointed one. He is the one we're looking for. This is the Christ, amen. And she's looking at all that potential in that child. And I can only imagine what was running through her mind. As I preach this, I just want you to think about that was running through her mind in her head. Wow, this is the Christ, amen. And then the Bible says he was going to be the Christ of the Lord. Christ, not of the Lord, Christ the Lord. Folks, she understood who the Father was. Amen. This is not just a man child. This is a God man child. He is the only God man child, if you will. And, you know, he is God in the flesh. I want you to appreciate this for just a second. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, if you will. Philippians chapter 2, and many people, of course, would have been offended by that if she would have thought that. I don't know about you. When we were kids, we were told that any one of us could grow up to be president of the United States. And I don't know about you, but I hope for that potential in my children. Amen. Can I just say this? She knew of that potential in her child. Why? This is Christ the Lord. And the Bible teaches us what they thought about it. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 6. And the Bible says this, it says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Listen, she's not saying anything that isn't true. This is God in the flesh, amen. It says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I want you to think, as she looked at that baby, she said, this is the Christ. This is that promised seed. She said, this is the Lord God in the flesh, a great mystery to everybody else. But she took and she, of anybody, had to understand, this is God in the flesh, amen. And by the way, people argue about what that means even to this day. You could imagine what she was running through her mind, amen. What, this child, what is this? And then the Bible says that he was going to be the Savior. Unto us was born this day a Savior. Amen. Listen, doing the work that only he can do. I want you to think, he was born for one specific purpose. Amen. While we're close, go to the book of Titus. Go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and look at verse 4. The Bible says, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Folks, one of the first times I was asked to preach in my home church, I was asked to preach a Mother's Day fellowship for the ladies. And the pastor's wife came to me and she says, Brother Mark, you had to know my pastor's wife. I love her to death, but she was very serious. And she says, do me a favor. And I said, what's that? She says, please, please don't preach on Proverbs 31. I said, why? She says, every Mother's Day message is about Proverbs 31. And you think about that, and maybe that's not true. That's one of the reasons whenever I preach on Mother's Day, I try to preach outside the box a little bit and think about some of these things. Folks, I want you to think about this. When she's looking at that baby, she is saying, this is the grace of God in my hand. Amen. And when it talks about being a Savior, she is literally taking and saying, this is the one that Eve was looking for. A lot of times whenever I preach on Mother's Day, I always bring up Eve. Why? Because when Cain was born, she says, God has given me a seed. My Savior's been born. She was looking in anticipation. The only problem is she was wrong. But this time, Mary, knowing, she says, this is my Savior. By the way, that'd be a good thing for religious people to understand. Mary needed a Savior too. Amen. And she looked down and she said, this is my Savior. Boy, he was just like the Father, full of grace and truth and the Savior of mankind. And so, if you will, she considered and she collected these memories. Many of you know this if you have a computer or if you have a cell phone anymore. I don't know how many of us knew this was happening, but just about any time you take a picture, that thing is being recorded for posterity. You know how I know that? Because about three times a week it says, these are your memories from. And this morning we were looking at memories from 7 years ago, looking at some of the grandkids. And well, not grandkids 7 years ago. Now I'm really in trouble because we was looking at pictures of dogs. It's not even close to the same thing. My whole point is this. Is quite often it'll say memories from this week. You guys know what I'm talking about? And I don't know about you. I pull them up because it's kind of fun to look at that and you think, boy, 7 years ago I was doing this. 5 years ago I was doing this. And you take and you look at those collection of wonderful memories. I just got to imagine, if you will, that Mary never forgot the day where she just looked down at that child and went, wow, this is the baby that God has given me. Amen. If you will, is he like his father? That's the first question that runs through. And then the second one is, what should we name him? Look what the Bible says in verse 21. Any of y'all remember naming your first baby? I'll give you a trip down memory lane. Unless you named your child by a family name, how many of y'all bought a baby name book? Honestly, three people? You didn't? Okay, anyhow. Any of you buy more than one baby name book? We did. Thank you. We did, man. We're looking through all the baby name books, and we're like, this baby name book, the first one we bought was this thick. And we got done going, that one doesn't have it in it. By the way, it did. But yeah. You take and say, what should we name? Folks, the wonderful thing is she knew what she was going to name her son. She was told what to name her son. Amen. The Bible tells us here in verse 21, go back to our text in Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. And the Bible says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. You know, when we named our children, we did get the baby name books, okay? And because of, I think names are important. Matter of fact, anytime there's a name in the Bible, by and large, it means something. It means something to the context. And I remember when we were getting ready to name our children, all of them, we would always take and try to think of a name that we hoped would become their character and would define them. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but go through the names of all our children. They all have biblical meanings, and they all have characteristics that we admired. And she didn't have that privilege. She was told what to name her child. You name him Jesus, okay? That's the same name as Joshua in the Old Testament. You name him Jesus, if you will. And the reason for that is what Jesus' name means. Jesus' names mean the Lord, Jehovah, is salvation. And we come more familiar with that in Acts 4:12. You guys familiar with that one? The Bible says this, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And folks, if you'll think about the implications of that, the Lord is salvation. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord is salvation. You can't save yourself. Only God can save you. And it's all going to depend on this child she's holding. The Lord is salvation. This is the Lord's Son. Amen. And he is going to take and save his people from their sins. Put that in the memory bank. Put that in the Rolodex. Put that on this day in your... What is it that comes up? It's not one accord. It's one what? What's it called? One drive. Thank you. It's that one drive thing keeps coming up and showing you all these things. And so as she's considering this son, she says, is he going to be like his father? What should we name him? And then she had to learn the lesson of why her firstborn was so special. Go to verse 22. The firstborn was made special by God, okay, for a purpose. Now notice what it says in verse 22. The Bible says, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. It says to Jerusalem, it's to the temple in Jerusalem, okay? And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. Sanctified, special, this belongs to me. By the way, every firstborn male belonged to God. Amen. You say, why? Why? Well, we'll get to that. Verse 24, the Bible says, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. And then the Bible says, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. By the way, the text, if you'll go back and read it in Exodus, said they were to bring a bullock for rich families. Middle income brought a goat or a lamb. And poor people brought turtle doves. Why? Mindy and I have gotten into birds. And one of the ones that she liked early on were these ring-necked doves. They look like pigeons. And I don't know how many of y'all grew up in the city or are biased against pigeons. Am I the only one? Kind of biased against pigeons. So I really didn't like the pigeons. But I love that thing. She says, that's a dove. I said, that's not a dove. That's a pigeon. It's a big old pigeon. Anyhow, I'll tell you about the things we argue about at the Bradshaw house. think about this. Folks, there's doves in every country I've ever been to. There are doves all around the world. They're different colors. They're different things like that. But there's doves everywhere. And to be quite honest with you, if you're canny enough, you could probably catch one. Why? Because these people didn't have enough money to have a bullock, and they didn't have enough money to have a lamb. All they had money for was to go outside and to catch two turtle doves, and to have them be their a sacrifice, if you will, that would redeem their child back to themselves. Meaning what? It belongs to me and it must be paid for. Okay? If it was any kind of an animal, the first male born was to be sacrificed unto the Lord. Because these are human beings, they didn't sacrifice the person, they made an atoning sacrifice. Amen. Why? Because God says the firstborn belongs to me. Can I just tell you this? It's important that Jesus Christ is the firstborn. Amen. For any number of reasons, it's important. But as she's looking down, and she's coming into the temple, and she's making this sacrifice, they're making, as a family, this sacrifice, they're realizing this is the firstborn son. By the way, Jesus Christ is the firstborn son of God. Amen. The only begotten of God. Amen. And so the Bible is saying that there's a special thing about that. Go to Exodus chapter 13. You'll see why. Exodus chapter 13. And look at verse 12. The Bible says that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of the beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of men among thy children shalt thou redeem. Okay? To buy back. And it says, by the way, that's a wonderful name for salvation, is it not? God bought us back. Amen. It says, and it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of the hand of the Lord brought us out of from Egypt and from the house of bondage. You know what he's saying? He's saying, the reason we do this is so we never forget who saved us. God saved us. Amen. And every time a child is born, they would start their life, okay, if you will, of all the children. They would say, don't let us ever forget as a family that the Lord redeemed us. The Lord saved us. Let me stop and make an application. How offensive is it to God to have somebody say, well, God paid the price, but I'm keeping me saved, or my good works are helping, or can I just say that's an offense unto God, amen? Why? Because she had to come and say, wait a minute, he is that firstborn, and it's to take, and the firstborn is so special because of that. Think about this also, though. I think it's special for this. How many of y'all excited to go to heaven? Folks, somebody had to be first. And Jesus Christ was first. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 18. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 18. The Bible says he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Folks, what they're doing there is a picture of Christ's work also too, okay? It says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, that's redemption. He says, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether things are in earth or things are in heaven, amen? And so if you will, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Amen. Listen, so that we might be, if you will, redeemed and in heaven. It talks about the resurrection and it talks about heaven. That's why the firstborn is so special. Another memory in the Rolodex, okay? Is he like the Father? What should we name him? Why is the firstborn so special? And then go back to our text. Luke chapter 2, look at verse 30. Luke chapter 2, verse 30. Can y'all acknowledge that a lot of thoughts must be running through Mary's mind here, okay? As she looks at that newborn son. And now she's given a warning in verse 30, okay? They go to the temple, they dedicate him, he's brought to the temple for the first time here after his circumcision. And in verse 30, the Bible says this. It says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. It's talking about Simeon is given this prophecy. He says, for now mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. By the way, how many of y'all think they're putting away some memories? Wow, think about what? All this is going to happen. He's going to lighten the Gentiles. He's going to redeem Israel. He's going to do all of this. Yeah, he's going to do all of that. But then he keeps reading. The Bible says this, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother. Now he's focusing on Mary. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You know, I want you to think about this as she was looking at that child. She had to be thinking, is this child going to bring me joy or is he going to bring me pain? By the way, she was warned about that. Joy in the fact that he will enlighten all people with his gospel. That's literally what he's talking about. That he's going to enlighten the world with his gospel. I want you to see this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, beginning verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Listen, he's talking about, if you will, being a light in a dark place. If you will, it's the devil that wants people to be in darkness, to not know the gospel, amen? And that's why he tries to pervert the gospel. She says, there's going to be joy. Why? Because they're going to hear the good news. They're going to be redeemed. They're going to be saved. Praise God. By the way, this child saved her all her other children. Amen. Okay? But then she was also going to experience pain. Now I want you to think about this. But in verse 34, back in our text, go back to verse 34. In the joy of this child being born, there was going to be some pain. Folks, I want you to think about this for a second. How many of y'all think she was glad to be a mother? How many of y'all think she was glad to be the mother of the Savior? How many of y'all also understood that it came at a great price? We'd be not born of fornication. Folks, she had to walk around. Even her own family had to take and say, look, born of fornication. No, God's the father. Well, they can't understand that. They don't know that. Please take this the right way. There was a lot of things that Mary knew about this child that a lot of people would not understand for a very long time. Amen. And she was going to have to take and deal with all that difficulty. As a matter of fact, I believe that she was a saved person when God talked to her. But folks, her other children still had to come to faith. And do you realize that even in Jesus' ministry, when he was preaching and doing miracles, they tried to take him inside, you're beside yourself. There's something that they didn't believe in him. Listen, even his own brothers didn't believe in him. And can you imagine how hard it was for a mother to have the division in the home between who Jesus was and the ones who didn't believe? Come on now, amen. What pain and sorrow that would have given her heart. Listen, she was warned that it was going to be like that. Now, praise God, later they did come to a saving knowledge, and as far as I know, all of them did. But they did come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But folks, there was a time where even those that she loved the most didn't believe in him. Not only that, but Mary would have to endure great pains watching him fulfill his ministry. Look what the Bible says in verse 35. Luke chapter 2, verse 35. The Bible says this, it says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. When do y'all think that happened? Folks, I want you to think about this, but the Bible makes it abundantly clear that Mary was standing beside the cross when Jesus died. Amen. He certainly was before. Amen. And when they took the sword and pierced him, how many of y'all feel that she felt that? That's what the Bible says. We suffer for our kids, don't we? We suffer with our kids. We suffer for our kids. And I want you to know one of the hardest jobs in the world sometimes is a mother, because you have very little control over what happens to your children. Amen. The Bible says that she was going to have great pains. You know, Mom, you may be in those same struggles today. I want you to think about this. There's sometimes our children give us joy, and there's sometimes our children give us pain. And we're always pondering and collecting. Pondering and collecting. Amen. And I don't know about you, but we make scrapbooks of life. Okay? Have you ever noticed in the life of a human being that there's foreshadowing, and sometimes there's climaxes and depressing times? And the Bible talks about, if you will, that Mary as a mother went through all those things, okay? And she became exemplary for us as a mother, all right? And you say, well, you're leaving us on a sad note. I hope not. I hope not. Because how many of y'all want to put only the best memories in the album? Amen? But what if God could take even the bad memories and turn them into something great? Amen. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the Shunammite woman. Remember the one that made a room for Elisha, and she never asked for anything, but Elisha said, what can we do for her? Hey, she doesn't have a child. Oh, well, tell her this time next year she's going to be holding a baby. And boy, she's holding the baby, raises up the child until he's about this tall. Okay, I think it was, you know. And then all of a sudden, one day, his head hurts, and this child dies in her arms. And you can imagine what pain and what sorrow went through that woman. And yet, what did she do? Because listen, if you have nothing but happy memories, Mom, of your children, praise God. I'm going to say it one more time. Praise God for the happy memories. But sometimes as a mother, there's the pain too. And you're holding that baby that you... You remember what she did? They came and they tried to rescue her, and she says, she put the child in bed and she said, go get the prophet of God. No, we can help. Go get the prophet of God. And they took and they ran. And they and you remember the servant said, hey, they're running. Something's going on. And they came and they ran out. What's going on? And listen, Elisha came out. And praise God, he was able to resurrect that child and put him back in the mother's arm. But she still had to watch him die. So what did she do? Well, folks, she did what we can do. We can pray for a child. Come on now. And we talked about this morning about God giving us the victories. Can I tell you this? That after you raise them to a certain point, you can't tell them what to do anymore. And sometimes they get hurt. And sometimes there's pain. And sometimes you don't want to put that picture in the book. But God, listen, how many of y'all believe this? God can still save souls. God can still change lives. And aren't you glad? And what a wonderful thought for a mother. You think, oh, there's nothing I can do. There's everything you can do. Because I tell you why, we still got a God in heaven. Amen. And we can still go to him. And he can still change lives. He can still do miracles. Y'all believe that? I believe that. So what do? Well, we just pray. We pray. What can God do? Listen, can he do a miracle in the hospital? He can do a miracle in the hospital. Amen. Can he do a miracle in a soul? He can do a miracle in a soul. You know, we always talk about the prodigal son. The father sitting there looking. How many of y'all think maybe the mother was concerned too? Amen. And I think about that. You think about all the memories and you think about the scrapbook of life and you think about the things that you put in there. And would to God they'd all be happy. But moms, we know they're not always all happy. But aren't you glad we can still do something about it? God can move and God can take a tragedy and he can turn it into a joyous miracle whereby many people are blessed. Amen. And it's all based on mom wanting to keep that scrapbook. Amen. But it might just be a simple thought, but that's the one the Lord put on my heart today. But would to God we could put nothing but good pictures. But if you're having to put some bad ones in there, aren't you glad that we can run to God? We can run to his word. We can ask for the Spirit to move. Amen. And God might be able to take a tragedy and turn it into a wonderful blessing. Let's all stand. What number?